Welcome to the Coworkers Podcast with Jesse and Shaney,
where every believer is a coworker in God's mission. Hey, friends. Well, today we are going to be talking about how to choose the best schooling option for your child or children when you come onto the field. And I have two of my friends and coworkers with me today to join me. Welcome, Danielle.
Thank you. Honored to be here.
And welcome, Michelle.
Thanks. It's good to be with you.
So the reason that we're talking about this is for a few reasons. First of all, we have found that when our kids are struggling, when our TCKs, third culture kids, or missionary kids are struggling, it's a common thing that happens on the field, and it's a common reason for people to end up leaving the field or needing to move. So it affects the work, and we also, I know Danielle and Michelle agree with me, believe it is our biblical stewardship to love our kids and families, and so Titus 2, for us to love our children well, and even in 1 Timothy 3, the qualifications for elders that God cares if we're managing our households and raising our kids well. So this is important. This is part of us having strong, healthy families that glorify God. And it is a big thing to figure out when you're new on the field. It was a lot for us when our daughter turned 3, because in South Asia, that's when you start thinking about it. So we're going to just talk through that. So those of you who are preparing to come to the field or new to the field, this is especially for you with little ones. And we will not be going in depth onto needs for high schoolers on this episode because there's some other factors to consider for that. So Danielle and Michelle, why don't you start by sharing a bit about yourselves, your background on the field and your families and the schooling decisions you have made up until now with your kids.
Yeah, so I am Danielle. I'm married to Craig, and we have 3 kids, Levi, who is 12, Riley is 9, and Malachi is 7. We've been on the field in South Asia for 11 years now. Fortunate enough to be living in the same city in the same house for 10 and a half of those years, which has been nice to have that consistency. When we came with a 1-year-old, so schooling was not something that was really on my radar when we came. But like Shaney said, as we got to the age where that was appropriate for us to consider, we had prayed through that and decided in South Asia, they do a junior KG and a senior KG. So kindergarten over 2 years, we decided for our oldest that junior KG was the time we were gonna put him in an international school, which is actually a national school taught by nationals, but they use an international curriculum. I learned that definition. And so, yeah, he and our other children kind of followed suit in our first 7 years of schooling, I would say, is doing an international, really meaning national-led school. Mm-hmm. And then over the past year has been our first time experiencing what homeschool is like.
Yeah, and I'll chime in to let our listeners understand that there's a wide range when it comes to schools being called international schools of what that can mean. So some are called that for marketing purposes and maybe aren't so international, but are much more led by locals and taught mm-hmm. by South Asian teachers.
Okay, my name's Michelle. I'm married to Jared. We have 4 kiddos, 14, 10, 8, 14, 12, 10, and 8, 2 boys and 2 girls. We've been on the field for about 18 years. We came without any children and then had our kids on the field, and they're currently in grades 3 through 8, 3rd through 8. So we've experienced a variety of different schooling options on the field and lived in a variety of different places where different things were available. And so when we started out the schooling journey, we were living in a place where we were doing homeschool, and then we had an opportunity to do a much more Western school in an international setting, but with Western teachers and Western curriculum. And then we have done, went back to homeschooling. We've also done pre-K type things in a local national school, not even international, but just national curriculum and national teachers. So we've kind of done mostly the gamut of
yeah.
options.
Perfect. Well, that is a lot of experience we have between you two. And for us, I'm quite similar, actually. We did a very local school in our first city where we just wanted to try it out, and that was a very South Asian preschool and then switched to a kind of international school, but still pretty national, and now been homeschooling the last year or two. So first of all, let's start with, as you're thinking through these decisions over the years, share with me a biblical principle or promise that has helped you.
So many variety of things, I think, that have come along the way and at different times. But the thing that somebody spoke to us when our kids were still really young and just struggling with decisions in general for kids on the field and the weight of that. You have that weight no matter where you live, whether you're in an international context or not. But sometimes it can feel a little heavier. The burden can feel a little greater when you're overseas because you don't always have the options to select through that you might think that your child needs or that you want. And so I just remember when somebody spoke to us from 2 Peter chapter 1 saying, "Seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness, through the true knowledge of him who has called us by his own glory and excellence." And so the reality that the same God that called us to this work and placed us in the countries that he's placed us in, the villages or the cities with the opportunities he has given us all that we need to parent the children that he also gave us to steward, and that he will make a way and show us a way and give us the wisdom that we need to parent them through that. And so just a trusting in his divine glory to work in us and through us to shepherd our children.
That's very encouraging. I think there's a temptation to give into fear because of the unknowns. Mm-hmm. And so just that hopefulness that God is giving us all we need, mm-hmm. and even blessing our decisions, mm-hmm. is really good.
Yeah, I don't think for us there was a specific scripture that stood out. It was just kind of some of the principles that are in scripture, like, for everything, there's a time and season, and make the best use of your time, like literally embracing one season at a time with the community that you're in prayer, in conversation with open hands and open hearts, you know, as you revisit that periodically. But for sure, having those in conversation with the Lord and with your spouse, and, you know, if you have teammates nearby with them. And honestly, as your kids get older, including your kids on that, has been a big part that we have learned to kind of just embrace those decisions and even helping, not that they make the final decision, but their voice is heard and we want to hear, you know, where they're at and processing it themselves.
It's kind of a relief to know that you don't ever have to make a permanent decision.
Yes.
Right? You can just try something. Yeah. It's not a forever decision.
Yeah.
Good. Well, why don't we talk a bit about some of the pros and cons to some of these main schooling options? So let's start with this more national school where your kids are going to school, they're learning another language. In our context, the medium is English, but they're also learning at least Hindi, sometimes others, and they're surrounded by, in our context, South Asians, right? And they have South Asian teachers. And so, Danielle, tell us some of the things you have loved about that season, and then some of the challenges as well.
Yeah. Yeah, Shani, you described it earlier as opportunities and challenges, and I love just thinking through it in that way, because in every, as I said, season, whether you're in a school that is national or whether you're in, you have the, you know, privilege of being a Western context, or whether you're homeschooling, there is opportunities in all of them. They're just different, right? So something that we, as we prayed through, and why one of the reasons we decided to put our kids in the school when we did, was we saw the benefits of cultural adaptation for them to be mixing up with other kids, instructed by teachers who were, you know, from this country that we have, you know, we're wanting to dive in deep with, giving them interaction with other kids. Honestly, we put our kids in there for the language, but like you said, the school was promoted as an English medium school. So they're saying, come here, they're only going to speak English. But the truth is, in kindergarten, these kids don't even know it, but they're coming to learn it, right? So it was great because at all the playtime in between when the teachers are explaining, my kids are getting the chance to learn the local language. So that was a really big thing for us. Obviously, friendships that can be formed were huge there. And honestly, for me, like, there were opportunities for me to form relationships with moms, whether it was like standing in the pickup line, waiting for our kids to be brought out, for the teachers who are still to this day, like, really precious to me. And yeah, just many different connecting points to the community that we're trying to be very present in. It really just opened a lot of doors for us. And honestly, one of the things that I love about that when they were in school is the school functions is like, you know, the school functions here are what you would call like their productions in the U.S., I guess. But they just had such unique, fun things that I always sat back and thought, I never experienced this, you know, in America, but this is so unique. They put so much thought and effort into it. And it was just such a really cool cultural experience. But like, I just still look back and like love those times. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So really, there's so many opportunities I felt like that we embraced because of that season.
Do you have anything to add for the pros or the benefits of the more local school?
Yeah, the only thing I would add is I think it is a unique season that you're able to really thrive in it. And it tends, in what I've seen in other families as well, to be the best really in younger kids. Mm-hmm. It's a really great opportunity to help them adapt to the culture, to find ways that they really love it before they start to see the stark differences and to develop meaningful friendships with a cross-cultural friend. And so in those younger grades, particularly when academics aren't so rigorous and important and you can like just have some time to play and enjoy, mm-hmm. it helps them enjoy the culture. And so that's
all. I like that many times the preschools are 3 to 4 hours. Mm-hmm. So you're not giving away your small one for the whole day. Yeah. So that's a little less pressure, right?
Yeah.
And what I loved about it when we sent all three of ours through from age 3 up, was their norm was to be surrounded by South Asian mm-hmm. kids. There was nothing weird about that. They didn't have to even like adjust to that. That was just their norm.
Yeah.
So that's a great gift to give our kids who are going to live here their many years, Lord willing, mm-hmm. that we just help them to make that more normal for them.
Yeah.
And I do think learning the language at those young years is a huge gift because when you're homeschooling, you really got to work a lot harder to make it happen. Mm-hmm. And you can. You definitely can. We are. But it just comes much more naturally many times in those settings.
I was also just thinking, as we're, you know, in a new season where our kids are not in that school, something for new moms that are coming, that are considering it, and as we've just kind of fleshed out a lot of the different opportunities that come from that. And so we know, like, as we're sending our kids, there's a lot of positive things that are happening there.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually a really huge blessing for new moms on the field because you have a window of time that's now protected, mm-hmm. whether you're pursuing language or you're looking to connect with women, mm-hmm. that is just built into your day because you've entrusted your kids to this local school that is investing in them, that's helping them mm-hmm. grow and adapt. You know, all the things we mentioned, but add on to that, that benefit as a mom of you have those 3 or 4 hours where you can now maximize and pursue whatever you need to in front of you.
Yes, huge gift. I think one more thing I would add is it kind of makes you be a bit more of an insider in the community.
Yeah.
Something that frustrates me is we're always outsiders. No matter how long we live here, we're always outsiders. And it's one way to make yourself a normal part. I'm still a weird mom because I'm an American, but I'm at least a mom with my kid wearing the same uniform, doing the same homework, all those things. Now, what are the hard parts? When we put our kids in local schools, there's a lot of unknowns, as I said, because we all grew up in American schools. We have a picture in our head. What does an American kindergarten classroom look like and what do they do? And we don't always have that here. With unknown can come fear. So what have been some of those hard parts?
I just think one for, and it's affected each of my kids differently, but there is a weight on some of them where they feel being different. You mm-hmm. know, they feel like they're the one who stands out and that people are staring. For some of them, they embraced it. For some of them, they had no idea and just, you know, they seemed to like go with the flow. So that can be a challenge. That can be something that you have to really process and work with your kids, talk through, and yeah.
I think another challenge is because we're living in a South Asian context, the amount that they bring religion into their education. And so when your kids are really young, or not even really young, but through those elementary years, it's hard for them to even know what they're hearing or what's coming in, and for them to process out truth and lies, and even to know to ask the question, like, I heard this today, what does this mean? And so when you're not there present, you're also not entirely sure. A lot of times they're good to let you opt out of certain celebrations, but the reality is South Asians are very religious in their day-to-day life in all of the different pieces. And so when your kids are in a national school, they're getting inundated with all of those pieces, and it can be hard for them to process out what is truth and what is not. And so that's another difficulty.
That was my number one difficulty, sending my kids, because there were idols in their school. And there's about, feels like, five Hindu festivals for every other type of festival. A lot of holidays here. Each part of the world is going to have their own issues, but that is one particular issue in South Asia, as Michelle said. Religion, even if it's called an international school, and even though they may promote that they celebrate all religions, right, there's going to be some influence going into your 3 and 4 and 5 year olds when they're young and all the way up. And so it requires a lot of extra intentional communication with the principal, with the teacher, over and over and over, and being very upfront. We are Christians. We have to speak for our kids. They can't do it at that age very well. So a lot of communication. We do not celebrate this festival with a lot of love. Give them some extra gifts. Be a good, thankful mom. But that is something that I was very intentional about, and even skipped school sometimes on some of those bigger holidays.
I think another unique one too, national schools, is even if they're using an international curriculum, the way in which the educational philosophy in which South Asians teach is very different than a Western context, very different than an American context even. And so the way that your kids are taught to learn information is also very different. And so even if maybe they're getting the information, that developing of a learning of critical thinking and an ability to find and arrive at the answer on their own is often lacking in a South Asian context. And so having to find unique ways to also continue to help your children learn good problem-solving skills, critical thinking skills outside of their academic setting.
Yeah, and with that, I had noted something too, is just being willing to supplement as needed. You know, as they're learning language, they may be teaching them English, but there may be some phonetical breakdowns because of the influence of where you live and their native tongue. So just being willing to say, okay, I'm sending them to school, but I may need to just do this one subject on the side and just work with them to keep that as well.
My kids went to a much smaller preschool, but then when it came time for first grade, we put our oldest into a big, very traditional South Asian school. Thousands of students on this campus and a lot of kids in each classroom. And I was, again, a little afraid and kind of like, whoa, what am I doing? Am I really doing this? I'm sending my one little American girl into this campus. But she was a champ. She had less fear than I did. So I had to be really careful to not put my fear on her, but to be excited for her and pretend like I thought this was normal. Mm-hmm. And there were so many benefits. I'm so thankful. She had caring teachers. They had a different teaching style. There was so much more pressure than I wanted. There was so much more competition than I wanted. But there was also so many good gifts in it. And so we did think to ourselves, I'm not sure we could do this all the way through because of the competition and the pressure. They had monthly competitions in their class for all kinds of things. Just to be honest, unless the parent really helped a lot or even like did it for the kid, your kid would never win. My daughter never won. She never came close to winning. So like, for a while, you can just, oh, it's fine, it's fine. Right. But to do that year after year, when you're in sixth grade and you've never won a competition, you know, that's going to start hurting. Exams are a big deal. Even in preschool, exams can be presented as a big deal. And so you have to manage that as a parent and help your child to not perceive it that way. But again, as they get older, you can only manage that so much.
I think we felt some of those same things, just recognizing that South Asia education can be rigorous and demand a lot from our kids, you know, the amount of writing that they might need to do. If you compared it, which we know that comparison isn't really helpful, it just is so different between what is happening in an American or, you know, a U.S. kindergarten versus what they're doing here, and on into the grade school, like when they start multiplication, when they start division. But something we had to embrace was we have to change our expectations. If we are at this point where we're at in this season was like our kids, we are all in putting them in this school, not committing to them graduating from here, but we're all in. So I need to guard my tongue and not even verbalizing in front of them, like, you would not have to do this. This is not right to do this. This is not what should be expected of you. I needed to not say that in front of my kids. And I needed to also, in my heart, like, protect myself. Hey, this is where we're at, so we need to be where we're at. And so we're going to work hard to learn those times tables earlier than maybe when I think we should or would. Or, you know, I'll sit with you while you have to write these things, but I'm not going to plant those seeds of negativity with my kids of this culture is wrong and my culture is right.
Right.
You know?
Right.
But it's so easy to fall into that, because if my expectation is that it will be very much so like it would be if I were in America, then it's a stark difference. Mm-hmm. You know?
One challenge for us that ended up, God worked it for good, but in the moment it was a little difficult was, well, first of all, idolatry for all of our kids here is never theoretical. So our kids are growing up with this right in their face. And my daughter struggled with believing if the Bible was true or not at the age of like 4, 5, 6. I did not expect that, but it was because all of her friends were Hindu or Muslim. So that was difficult for her. I didn't expect a 4 or 5 year old to be asking, well, how do I know if this is true when we're doing our morning Devo? I thought, you're 5. You're supposed to believe everything I say is true. So it did worry me a bit because it lasted a couple years. And I was just thinking, oh, no, did we overdo this? Like, did we put her in an environment she can't handle? But the Lord worked it for good and through prayer. And so she ended up stronger for it, because when she did believe the Bible was true, she really did. She didn't just take that for granted. But just want to be honest about some of those challenges that can come when our kids are surrounded by people who don't know Jesus and don't even know who he is. Of course, it's also an opportunity for our kids to share the gospel at young ages and in probably not the best way, but for them to try it, you know, to try to share as a 5 or 6 year old. That's cool. So, okay. So I hope that was helpful as some of you may be considering national schools, and I think no matter the context, it would be an opportunity for kids to get to know the culture and language and become more of an insider in your community. Let's talk about homeschool a bit. That's another very common option that families choose. Michelle, why don't you start? Share with us what you like about homeschooling.
Okay, so homeschooling, if again, so much of it I feel comes down to a lot of personalities, family dynamics, so many things, but homeschooling would probably be my preference. If I could just choose what I wanted to do for our family, not regarding what my kids necessarily wanted or any of these other things, I think I would choose homeschooling for a variety of reasons. But the things that I probably loved the most about homeschooling were, first and foremost, it allows us the flexibility as a family to engage in ministry when and where the Lord leads, and however our schedule falls, we can say, okay, we're going to just pull out and do this ministry thing right now. We're going to integrate it into our days. I have full control of our schedule to say, this is how we can do this as a family. And particularly as we live and labor on the field, we've often said, if like for myself as a wife and a mom, if I'm not involved in ministry, I can't sustain life on this side of the field. Like, that's what God called us here to do. And so if I'm not doing that, I'm going to very quickly kind of become disgruntled and kind of wonder, why am I here? What are we doing? So when we were homeschooling, we were able to really embrace that aspect of ministry. And so I really loved that. The other pieces that I really loved about it were being able to spend a lot of time with my kids and the relational capital that built, getting to learn so much about who they are and how they think and how they see the world, and getting to have long times in the Word that weren't just part of our family devotion life, but just digging into the Word in Bible class and actually going through various studies. And also the flexibility and freedom to choose a curriculum that helps fit your kids' learning style. Anytime you're in any school setting, the curriculum is already determined for your kid. And so the ability to say, it doesn't look like you're catching what we're trying to teach in math right now. Let's look for a different way to show you that. The direction that my kids are going to go and learn and what they're going to hear about. And I really love having the freedom and flexibility of homeschool to be able to do that.
Danielle and I wouldn't be at this meeting right now if we weren't homeschooling.
That's exactly
We'd be
right.
home with our kids. Our husbands would be here. Mm-hmm. We'd be fine. Mm-hmm. There'd be some benefits to that too,
sure.
right?
Mm-hmm.
But that is huge exclamation point to homeschooling gives so much flexibility. There have been so many trips this year we wouldn't have done as a family. Jesse would have done by himself. So I am enjoying that very much.
Let me just give a disclaimer that there's a reason why we are just now starting homeschool, because though I have a teaching background, it is in secondary education. And I was very intimidated, even in observing the way me and one of my children in particular interacted over homework. We just really had to pray through, is this the right choice for us? And for, like I said, a season, it was the best choice is for him to be involved in the school. But we really did get to a point where it was, this is right. This is right. And this is good for us to do. For all of the reasons you already mentioned, I was certainly not thinking about the curriculum opportunities to think through, but the time to invest in my kids is something that was really a big part in now. And it's not that I didn't want to invest in my kids in those previous seasons. It was just very evident that the Lord was saying, this is a season where I want you to invest in your kids. So you having them with you in a classroom allows you to be in charge of their schedule and what that looks like, allows you to incorporate more deeper discipleship than I would have been able to piece together outside of the school day. Not that that couldn't and didn't happen when they were in school, but it's just a window where I feel like I get to make the most of and maximize because they're with me. And this is the verses that the Lord used. They're kind of comical, okay? But it's both Colossians 3:21 and Ephesians 6:4 was talking to, it says, fathers, I chose to insert, and mothers, do not provoke your children to anger, or just do not provoke them lest they be discouraged, is what Colossians 3:21 said. And I really thought, okay, lest they be discouraged, which means lacking courage. The reality is I just really started to pray, Lord, you have directed us to this time of homeschooling. And I get a very fortunate role of looking for all the ways that I can encourage my kids. And I get more opportunities if they're at home with me, right? So how can I encourage them? How can I help them grow? Because let's be honest, wherever you live, they're surrounded by so many opportunities for people to discourage them, for the world around them to discourage them. But I get to be one of the few voices, likely, that could be, that's why I have to pray, a consistent voice of encouragement. And the other verse that I said was Ephesians 6:4. It ends with, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So that's why we felt like this is the time to invest, to encourage, to bring them up in the instruction and discipline of the Lord.
So I hope our listeners are picking up on there are pros and cons to every option. None of us believe that the Bible gives us a clear answer on this.
Mm-hmm.
We all believe you should listen to the Holy Spirit and use wisdom and look at each child and each season and each city. And some cities have more options than others, right? Our prayer in this is to help just inform you a bit, to help you see what would be best for your family for now. Danielle and Michelle, have you been able to engage in ministry in every schooling option that you have chosen?
I have.
Yeah, absolutely. For sure.
I want moms and dads to have a sense of assurance that you can.
Mm-hmm.
You definitely can.
Yeah.
It's different. Right now I'm homeschooling, and there are days when I really miss that my children left my house every morning at 8:10.
Mm-hmm.
I miss it. It was like so nice to have a quiet house and be able to have all those hours to do all the things I wanted to do ministry, to have time alone with my husband. However, homeschooling gives us this amazing flexibility, and you can make your schedule. You can find ways to get out. Of course, it's harder with little ones. I say that as an encouragement for moms who are considering both.
Yeah.
And you brought out, Michelle, you prefer homeschooling. Danielle, you brought out, you and one of your kids can butt heads when you're working on homework. Like, just those different personalities, that's a factor. And some people more naturally just love teaching their kids. Some more naturally don't. Right?
Yeah. It's a refining time. This 100%. This is what this season is teaching me. The Lord is refining me in so many ways as I embrace the opportunity in this season of homeschooling. It's for my kids. It's intentional time with them. It's looking to maybe work on gaps that we've noticed from whatever. But it is like, there's a huge percentage of it that the Lord is like, I have work to do on you as well.
With homeschooling, the bigger struggle for me, it's not the academics. It's not making sure my kids are good enough at math and science. The harder struggle for me is the constant character development, teaching to speak respectfully, managing sibling conflict. That's never away from you. It's always in your house. And the refining, seeing how my anger sets the tone. Everybody else gets angry if mom gets angry. And yeah, it is a refining process, but there's so much opportunity because there's a goodness to sometimes kids and parents having some time apart. It kind of just helps. But there's also a goodness to having to work through your issues with your sibling.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You can't just go off to school. So there's goodness to both of those.
And it's also not always a stark decision of this or that. There's a lot of combining that can happen. And so I have a kid with speech needs and I have a kid with orthographic dyslexia. And so we have these moments and times that even when we're homeschooling that there's maybe going to be an additional need. And that doesn't mean you have to choose something different. God is so gracious and abundant in his resources and how he provides. And so we have at times brought in nationals into our home to teach alongside us while we're homeschooling. We have brought in like online speech therapy. And then also at times in season said, maybe this is going to be a really good time to put them in to another school to really work on and let somebody else work with them on this struggle or this issue. I think that's what you're probably going to continue to hear is the refrain is that there's no one answer. There's always ways to kind of look and think outside the box and combine even potential opportunities and types of schooling to say, you know, maybe we'll do this or do that. And the Lord provides in all of those ways at just the right time and in just the right way to meet the need that we have. Mm-hmm.
I was thinking about how, you know, you're talking about the different needs you have. And many times we might have one child who prefers a different type of school than the other,
yeah.
Right? And just having to, again, work through that and pray through that, what's best for our family. Sometimes giving your children a voice in that, but then also sometimes being able to assure them, you can trust me. We know this is best for you right now. And trying to help them see that. We are homeschooling right now. We're using some online classes. Praise the Lord. There are so many amazing online schools.
Yes.
So many that are doing a much better job than I would do. Really.
Amen.
I know. But my oldest really misses going to school. She misses the classroom setting. She misses her teachers. She misses lunchtime with her friends. And so I grieve that with her a bit. I tell her, I wish you had that. There was so much goodness in that. Thankfully, she even sees like, okay, for now, this feels like the best choice for us. I have one child who would like homeschool till she graduated from college if we let her. Like she would just never leave. She loves being with me. But every child will have their own personality and opinions.
We have walked through that same thing, you know, where as we had prayed, we felt like, well, one seems like homeschool is best and the other ones grieved hard, like, and begged, you know, and even in their homeschool days through tears because they want to be with the teacher, they want to be with the students. But like you said, it's a good opportunity for them to know, like, we are following the Lord's lead too. You're trusting us and we're trusting him. And it's hopefully something that sticks with them for all of their life, you know?
Danielle and I are at this meeting because we're homeschooling. So we have been the last few days giving our kids their books, saying, here, do your work, and then coming into the meetings and going back to check on them. And I know I have seen, I can overdo that a bit where I think, I have a flexible schedule. We can go and do everything together. And then you overdo it and you realize, I need to give my kids some focused attention. They're getting frustrated. They don't have me in the room enough. And so I think that is a challenge to homeschooling, that I get all excited about the flexibility and I go too far and then I have to pull back a bit. And I'm guessing when we go home tomorrow, I'll probably be home like kind of focusing on the kids for a day or two to help with that. You guys feel that?
Absolutely.
Any other benefits, opportunities? I had one more. I'd like to hear you to share how you have dealt with this, because I am still pretty new at homeschooling. When my kids went to school, I had a natural break from them. And when they came home, I had energy for them and I protected that time with them. Now that I'm homeschooling, I'm tired by the time we're done with schooling and I don't want to go like play with them. Just being honest, I want Shaney time, or I want to leave the house and go do ministry. I have been frustrated that sometimes I feel like I let teacher or school manager or principal become my primary role with my kids. And it's harder for me to carve out time just to be with them and laugh with them, because it's like, okay, I got homeschooling done. Now I want to go do ministry, or now we have a meeting, or now we have people in our house, or now I just want to go catch up on computer work. How do you balance that?
My answer will be short, because we are literally in the throes of trying to figure that out. I would say the only thing at this point that I feel like it's made me be very efficient with my time and planning out just even the hour to hour in my day, where maybe I was just more flexible and loose and holding that. I just don't have that privilege, you could call it, I guess, now, but it's fine. But yeah, how do I find the time to carve in to just kind of, okay, I need to kind of re-energize. I need to make sure I sit down and I just be with you. I don't know that I've got that figured out, so we'll look to the expert, Michelle.
I definitely won't say that I have it figured out, and I think it's something that ebbs and flows and changes in seasons as well. But a variety of things. One, I think probably the largest factor was something that another homeschool mom told me about, and she actually homeschooled her kids in the U.S. She wasn't in an overseas context, but she said that the best thing that she'd ever done was to hold on to what had been a child's nap time into a quiet time. And so I asked her to flesh that out for me, and what did that look like? And so based on a lot of what she did and on our family, we did what we called read, rest, and create. And so after school, our homeschool time was much more like a regular school day, like it would be in a brick and mortar classroom. We had a posted schedule from this time to this time. We did some of our subjects together, which is where I felt like we got a lot of fun time, like where it was academic, but it was fun. We had STEM and we had science and we had global perspectives type studies that we could, that were just more fun. They were meant to just kind of learn together. And so I felt like I got a lot of good time with our kids in that. But then when school finished and we had lunch, then after that, like depending on the day, the season, etc., we would take an hour to an hour and a half, and they had those options. You can read a book, you can rest, and a lot of times they would turn on an Odyssey or something and just listen to it and lay down and rest, or you can create something. But it was completely independent, and then that was also my time to either say, like, okay, I'm going to knock out some computer work, I'm going to rest, I'm going to spend some time with the Lord, I'm going to do this or that, something different. And so it kind of gave also a reset to the day. If school had been really hard and there had been frustration and there had been tears, we did lunch, we had that time, we could come back out of that and be like, okay, now this is our time. Now this is family time. You have freedom. Go play, go run, go do. It kind of provided a reset in the day. And the other thing that we did that was super helpful for me was one day a week, I asked another national to come in and teach in my homeschool. You know, was it like the absolute most perfect academic setting? Maybe not, but we had a schedule she could follow. She knew what everybody was doing. She even taught some subjects that were special to her. Like she did music and she did language with them. And so we did those electives on those days. And it gave me an entire day. The kids knew I will not be there. I'm leaving the house physically that morning. And I went out and did ministry. Sometimes I would do grocery shopping. Sometimes I might go meet somebody for coffee or whatever. Discipleship. I would do ministry that day. And I would come home after their quiet time and afternoon was finished. And so it gave me a full day in the week where I could do some of those other things and feel like I had the capacity, because I was out getting ministry done and I was out doing other things. And I had the capacity to then again engage with our family. So those were just a couple things that we did.
Those are so good. Yeah. Such good principles. And I do think we have a lot of moms, parents who do have maybe a day of the week that they try to get out. Some maybe half a day, some maybe full day, but having that in your schedule and outsourcing, having someone come in and help Absolutely. That is so doable in South Asia. I don't know about in every area of the world. It could be much more expensive, but having a local brother or sister come in, we do that for Hindi twice a week. We do that for music right now. Every city has its own options and things that are available, but we can invite others to help. Every family might have a little different amount of father involvement. Yes. There's freedom for that too. Jesse has been our science teacher for the younger ones, and that's been a huge blessing because that's not my favorite subject. But it's just a little way that he's involved, doesn't require every day, and he's way better at it than I am, and it's just a way for him to have intentional time with the kids. But the opportunities to outsource, if there are sports, if there's art classes, if you can do play dates, all of those things are good gifts that you can look for and be intentional about. And I do also think it's great to point out, we have a lot of people we can learn from. Mm-hmm. I'm thankful. When I started to realize we were planning to homeschool, I knew immediately at least 5 women. They've been doing it a long time. They know their stuff. I'm just going to, you know, get their tips. And that saved me hours and hours and hours of research. So what else, Danielle? What are some ways that you have been figuring out to make the most of this season?
Yeah, to make the most of the season is just, again, embracing it for what it is, and letting Saturday be a reset for me has been really helpful. It is, I guess, maybe one of those outlets that we have of where, like, we don't talk school, we don't do school. Like, Saturday is, I am mom. I'm only mom, you know? And sometimes that means we'll all go read in separate rooms, or that might mean, like, we're for sure gonna watch a movie all together and order pizza, and I'm not gonna cook that day, too, you know? Like, just... that rejuvenates all of us and lets us connect, and like whatever happened this week, let's just let that be in the past and let's reset for the week ahead.
I think our kids need us sometimes to not ask them about school. And good for you for saying we're going to order in, because I just want an easier day. Okay, I want to talk about when we have the opportunity for a Western school option. Michelle, give us all the information on this, because we haven't really experienced this, and it's probably less likely for people to have that option, right?
Right.
A lot of our cities, at least in South Asia, don't. So tell us a bit about some of the pros and cons of that.
Right. Yeah, it's definitely not available all over the place. I think it's probably quite rare, really, in South Asia, really, to have that opportunity. And so some of them are Western schools, meaning they are facilitated and taught by Westerners and run mostly predominantly by Westerners or Western curriculum. The one that our kids attend actually also happens to be a Christian school, so a Western Christian school. And that's not always the case, but in South Asia, many of them also are, because that's who's come in to start these schools. And so pros and cons. The pros obviously are that the academic side of things, the curriculum that's being used, even the way in which things are taught, the educational philosophy tends much more towards our same culture. And again, there are pros and cons, honestly, of both types of educational philosophies, but they're going to feel more comfortable. It's going to be more what our kids are going to experience when they get to the university level. And so in many ways, it prepares them better to enter into an American or a Western university with expectations and the ways in which they're going to learn through those. So I think that's probably one of the greatest takeaways of having a school like that would be that side of things. It's an international context in the sense of usually you have kids from a variety of backgrounds, but most of them are not local. Usually they're living there from the outside. Even in our school, the ones that have come in actually have been living abroad, and they've come back into our country and they can't integrate into a local school, and so they come to ours, but they've been living abroad. And so it helps our kids also not feel like that one person who's out. You know, like you said, you know, my daughter is the one American girl in this entire sea of thousands of South Asians. Everybody is an outsider to some degree there. And so it's easier to fit into those places because you're not always the odd one out. People are coming and going. Some of the difficulties would be the rigorous nature of like a schedule that's fixed. That's similar to a national or international school, but your kids have to be at school. There are expectations of attendance. And if you're going to be gone, you have to let us know, and they have to make up the work. And, you know, you only get a 5 or 6 week summer break. And so trying to fit in statesides and things like that, when your kids are younger, a little easier. Once you start getting up into secondary years, and a lot of them use a Cambridge type curriculum because it's very widely accepted, but those become very rigorous years because they're tied together. And so finding a time that you can even get a stateside out before you have to be back in school is difficult. Also, there is a much broader influence that your kids are going to experience. They're going to see both the good and the bad of a host of cultures. And so beginning to also filter through those things, because it's just a cultural hodgepodge, far more so than a national school where it's predominantly a South Asian culture, or an international school even where it's still predominantly a South Asian culture with just a few other. This is literally a hodgepodge of cultures from all around the world. And so beauty in that, because they get to experience so much difficulty in that, because they also have to filter through and figure out, how do I interact with an Australian versus a Korean versus, you know, somebody from England or somebody, you know, just so many potentials there. And so it can be difficult and it can also be good. So I don't know. Those are some of the highlights that I thought of.
That's helpful. It's helpful to hear and be reminded a Christian school isn't the perfect option. It's not just, oh, super easy, as some people might think. Thank you both. This has been a lot of information. I hope it's helpful. Listeners, whatever doesn't apply to you, just ignore it. We're not giving you any biblical mandates here, right?
No.
We want to encourage you. And so we're going to end with each of you share a word of encouragement to the moms and dads who are thinking about this for their own kids.
Yeah. Again, I'll just go back to what I said at the beginning. Just remember that you take each season one at a time. You do that in prayer. You do that in conversation with your spouse, you know, with your kids as well. And just recognize each child is unique and different. So have those regular check-ins even with your kids, and be listening to what are their responses. Not that you make, you know, an impulse decision or a quick reaction, but if we're consistently checking in, then we kind of are more aware of where they're at, their needs, in every area, in every aspect. And if you're exploring different opportunities, like you said, Shaney, gather the information, but don't feel the pressure to do something that somebody else is doing. Mm-hmm. But pray and go forward in the way that the Lord is leading you and your family with your kids.
Mm-hmm. I think my word of encouragement would be simply to keep an eternal perspective, to remember that while God very much cares for all of the tiniest details of our lives and of our children's lives, he also has put eternity in our hearts, and he has shown us where we are headed and the direction that we are going. And so when we can fix our eyes on Jesus, all of these things the Lord is working out in his way and in his time. And so I grew up in an academic family. My father was a teacher. I got a degree in education as well. So academics are important to me. I want my kids to know how to learn, to love learning. I want them to be lifelong learners. And so I can get so focused on all the tiny details of how they're doing. Are they thriving? Are they learning? Do they love learning? All of those things. But the reality is, I want them to know and love the Lord Jesus Christ above all else. And if they know and love him and follow him all their days, that is paramount. That's the most important thing. And so if we can keep eternity at the front and let the Lord also lead and guide us in all of the details in between, knowing that he cares for and loves for even those tiniest of details, but trusting that he will do that in his time and in his way.
Amen. Listeners, thank you. I hope that this has been helpful for moms and dads, and not just for yourself, but even think of your teammates who have different schooling options. You might be hearing some of the challenges they're facing and be able to see, oh, this is a way I can serve them. This is a way I can encourage them. May the Lord guide all of you as you walk by faith with much prayer and love your children well. Thank you, Danielle and Michelle.
Thank you.
Thanks.